Right. So today we're going to finish Be'ezras Hashem Kuf Tzadi Ches and begin Kuf Tzadi Tes, or at least begin to introduce Kuf Tzadi Tes. So we're getting there. We're moving along. I think we left off Si'if Lamed Vav. Yeah, is that correct? I think so. I think that's where we left off. So Si'if Lamed Vav, the Tshuvas HaRashba, Si'if Lamed Vav is based on the Tshuvas HaRashba. That's if you look in the Beis Yosef, the whole thing is based on Tshuvas HaRashba, because the Shulchan Aruch says Tzarek Shia Hamikva Gavoa Mimal Tabura Zeres Lepachos, that the height of the waters of the mikvah is supposed to be a zeres above her belly button, meaning of the average woman. Obviously, women come in different heights, and therefore it's not going to be the same for everybody. But it should be a zeres above the belly button. In Si'if Lamed Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Misha Omer, Shaval Pishayin Begova Mea Mikvah Lalos Bem Kol Gufa, Elam Kein Panel, Vegufa Kvushim Bekarka, Shapir Dami. That there's Yesh Misha Omer, the Pidiyeved, even if she has to like go flat with her face into the ground, even that, I don't think it means she digs her face into the ground, but it means she goes flat down, face down in the mikvah, and that's the only way to fit her body into the mikvah. That would be kosher b'diavid. The Tshuvas HaRashba writes that the mikvah water should be a zeres above the belly button, and this yesh misha omer. So what does the Gra say? Yesh misha omer. D'chiyai gavna nami yichol litbol derech kedilasa. Meaning, what the Bira Gra points out is that as long as she can position her body in a way where she's not blocking parts of her body from having water contact those parts of her body, she's not holding her legs tightly together, she's not holding her arms tightly by her side, as long as she can go in derech gedilasa, it doesn't matter whether it's, I mean, b'di'eved, it's not going to matter whether it's vertical or horizontal. The Pischei Tshuva in Sif Katan Chav Aleph Zeres Lepachos Ein Beragola Shekasav Shu Chatzi Amma Shel Vav Tvachim. A Zeres is half of a six Tefach Amma, meaning three tvachim. Vayim b'sefer levushay sarat shakasav d'zeinu baru kol kach. Ki mevor di b'yushalmi di eshnei minei zeres. L'chein b'eis tikun ha-mikva roi l'dakteik she'edavka yud beis godlin shu chatzi amma. Now we should be mapped with like the more chomer dikashita of what a zeres is. Not a strong connection. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the eitza is. I really don't know what the eitza is. I think the only thing I can do is just keep going, and if it gets really, really bad, then you let me know that you're not hopping anything, and we'll see what to do from there. Did you hear that? Could we switch to phone? Is that better? I don't know. The other day, was it better? It was harder for me. I felt like I wasn't. No. Also, my daughter's on the phone because her school. I guess I could use my cell phone. I was thinking of the house phone. Yeah, should I do that? Should we switch to phone? Let's take a vote. Switch to phone, everybody? Yeah, it probably is too many devices connected to the Wi-Fi. I like phones, says Yoni to everyone. Phone. Okay, Ephraim. All right, so it's a 2-0 vote. Okay. All right, so Bli Neder, I will call in to the Zoom, right? That's what I should do, call in that number? Yeah? Okay. All right. I will do that.
Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press pound to continue. You are in the meeting now. There are more than 20 participants in the meeting.
Well, you'll come on right now.
All right. Chevre, you hear me?
I hear that.
Guys, you hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah?
Clear.
Okay. All right, let's try this again.
Can I ask a suggestion?
Yeah.
If everybody turns on the video, but mutes his voice, and then also turns should be able to see Rebbe, and Rebbe can speak through the phone. There shouldn't be any overlap.
Okay. I could try it again. We tried that last time. It didn't work so well.
Let's see. I don't think we turned the sound of your computer off.
Do you want to mute the phone and the sound, like what you can hear from the computer off?
I want to mute the phone. No, not the phone.
Not your cell phone.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Microphone.
The microphone on the computer. That would make more sense. Okay.
Yeah, and then also turn off your sound on your computer.
Okay, let's see what happens. In that order? Does it matter? Already joined by phone. I have a choice. Already joined by phone.
Yeah, maybe press that.
Yeah. I'm pressing that, but it's not working.
It's fine. You can just...
Let's see if this works. You guys still hear me? I see you all now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go with this. Yeah. I'm going to mute the sound of my computer anyway. Maybe I should do this for my 10-minute halacha shiur too. Right? Maybe someone will actually hear my Temen Halacha Shir. That would be nice. Okay. The Temen Halacha Shir today is about Mechiras Chametz, with when you can't do it in person. So, explaining Rav Schechter's Shita on that issue. Okay, but all right. Anyway, so back to our how does Rabbi Sadlovsky say? Back to our story. We're discussing the Shulchan Aruch's two consecutive halachos, Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, where in Lamed Vav he says it has to be mimal le tabura, the water level has to be mimal le tabura zaras lepachos. It's not a Gemara like that. The Gemara just tells us that a mikvah, a kosher mikvah is 40 sa, that a kosher mikvah is an amma by an amma, berom shalosh amos, because that's the height of a person, and that's the amount that yields 40 sa'a. But the Rashba writes that if we're going to have her be tovel derech kedilasa, we have to make it manageable for her to be able to go in derech kedilasa, and the way to do that is by having her by having it zeres lemalam mitabrasa. The Bira Grub pointed out though that in Sif Lamed Zayin, when the Shulchan Aruch says b'dieved it works even if she's flat on her face, that's because she can be derech gedilasa flat on her face as well. Meaning, you could be derech. It doesn't matter if you're derech gedilasa vertical or horizontal. Either way, you're derech gedilasa, and that's going to work. So, if you look in the Pischei Tshuva in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph quotes a Beragola that the zeres that we're talking about is three tefachim, half of an amma, and then he says, but in Mavur B'Yerushalmi that there are different shiurim for a zeres, and he writes Lachain Be'ez Tikun Amikva Ro'i L'Dakte. Dafka Yudbeis Goldlin. Yudbeis Goldlin means 12 thumb widths of which would equal, four thumb widths equals a tefach, right? Because a tefach is the fourth finger's width plus the height of the thumb, but the thumb is a fatter finger than the rest of them, so four Goldlin would equal one tefach. So Yudbeis Goldlin means three tefachim, which is a half of an amma, if it's an amma of sheish tvachim, and that's what we should be careful to do. V'achar kach bizdamin, shemisma'atin hamayim, lo yifchos al kolponim, miyud godlin. And he says, and if the water goes down, at the very least, we should make sure that it's always at a level, we should mark off a line, make sure that it's always at a level of yud godlin, above the tabura. V'kas of od, d'ro'i l'chol mor l'ashkiyal chazeh, ki l'das ha'shach sivkat memte, because the chashash and sifkat, the shach and sifkat and memtes thinks that this might even be a psul b'di'evin. Why in sifkat and memtes? Sifkat and memtes was going on the previous si'if. What happened in the previous si'if? The Shulchan Aruch said that if she bends over too much or she stands up too straight, so also la tevila, but v'yesh misha omer shalo also. So the shach wrote over there tzarechin b'zeh v'chein hadi atzma. The idea that this tevila could work, we saw the shach last time, is only if you have a girsa in the Gemara that we don't paskin like all of these statements la halacha. Avla mechaber al karchach lo sfir lehachi. Shari pasuk leel siv ches kabe kol, the siv tes kabe dam shebemaka, shechotzeitz. But all the other statements of the Gemara, the mechaber does paskin like. Vize eno alamanda lo garis hachi b'shas. Da ba atalia. The girsa is the one girsa. Either you paskin like all these halachas that appeared in consecutive order in the Gemara, you don't paskin like these halachas. So since the Shach holds that an inability to go derech gedilasa can passel the mikvah, can passel the tevila, so says the Pischi Tshuva, we should be very careful about this. Alkein roi sheyitei lisha omedes al nashim beis tevila mida shel asar gudlin lemanteda li zoyer bedavar. You know, one of the problems a lot of women have with going to the mikvah, depending on which mikvah they go to, is sometimes they feel that the mikvah lady is a little too on top of things. We discussed already the primary role of the mikvah lady, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is just to make sure the hair went under. And there's nothing else she has to see. She can come in when the woman is already under the water and just make sure that that the hair goes under. But we've added over time other responsibilities, making sure there are no chatzitzos on her back. And now he says that the mikvah lady should be like a Beis Yaakov principle. She should come with a ruler at all the girls, and she should measure and throw her out of the mikvah if she's too tall. You get that 6'3" woman, sorry, you're out of here, because it's not unless she's interested in going face down into the mikvah, which works b'di'evit according to the Shulchan Aruch, k'modaf lo shet kapel k'tzasa al k'tzasa, but not to fold some of her body over other parts of her body. V'yomayim al lemayla mikol gufa. V'kam b'kol dinei atvila, hachiv mutal al kol mora lahasir tamad l'isha omedes al atvila, v'l yismuch m'mashi yishira pam achas rakia ragil. The most important line in the Pischi Tshuva is the last one. Meaning everything we said before that, we don't do any of that. Meaning we make sure that the mikvah is a proper height and that it's not going to be a problem, that the mikvah is large enough and that it's deep enough that it's not going to be a problem. The mikvah lady will know that if it's a very, very short woman, so maybe she could stay on the step, you know, before it goes, before she jumps in. But if it's a taller woman, so it's plenty of height for anyone to go to the mikvah properly. But that last line is a critical line, that mikvah ladies in a properly functioning mikvah, the woman, the mikvah attendant, should be someone who gets chazara lessons every once in a while. That it shouldn't just be assumed that you taught her once 20 years ago and therefore she remembers everything, because over time, you know, there are certain kulas that may have crept in, there are certain chumras that may have crept in, there are certain metzias that might have changed. So it's an important thing that there should be some sort of chazara lesson. Normally it happens memela, because at least in larger communities where it's not a single mikvah lady or even two mikvah attendants, you have many, many different people, and sometimes you'll have new volunteers, and the new volunteers need to be trained, and that provides an opportunity to give chazara to some of the more seasoned veteran volunteers. But that's the and now I think in many of the mikvahs they do like sensitivity training also, in terms of what women can handle, and that you shouldn't feel like, they shouldn't feel like you're on top of them, and that you're that you're questioning them, but just trying to help them and trying to create a sense of tahara labayla. But as far as the ruler, I don't think we do that. I don't think we do that anymore. So Beis Yosef says that of the two options, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch says pretty clearly, of the two options of either bending over or going face down is by far the better option, because that you could do derech gedilasa. So that which the Gra points out is already in the Beis Yosef. Moving on to Sif Lamed Ches, Shulchan Aruch says ein atzricha liftoach piha kedei sheyichnusu ba hamayim. By the way, I realize I turned my computer's audio off, so if anyone has anything to say, that's not going to work well, right? So what should we do? I guess you could put it in the chat. I'll keep my chat open.
We can hear you through the...
Oh, yeah, you could do that too, right? That works too.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so, I'm like, I'm a dinosaur. My daughter's school has a calling-in teleconference line. Chas v'shalom, they can't use Zoom. So my good friend Rabbi Yehuda Balzum was commenting that that they're going to mail over all the materials. You just have to wait 4 to 6 weeks to shipping because, you know, it's 1988. That's the okay, but we do our best in the circumstances. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Lamed Ches. She doesn't have to open up her mouth so that the water can come in, but she also shouldn't tightly close her mouth. And if she does tightly close her mouth, the tevila is invalid. She should close her mouth, a dibuk beinani, meaning a regular closing, not hardly shut tight. This is based on the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that she does not have to open up her mouth. We already saw that Gemara, I believe, on a few occasions. The Gemara comes up in Maseches Nida as well, that a Beis Hasdarim has to be royal Bias Mayim, but you don't need Bias Mayim Mamish. However, the Mishnah in Maseches Megvaos, in the 8th paragraph of Maseches Megvaos, does say that if she closes her lips too tightly, then the Tevila doesn't work. So, you know, on the surface, the simplest explanation is that it's not a stira at all between what the Mishnah says in Maseches Megvaos and what the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin. There's a difference between allowing water in the mouth and closing the mouth very, very tightly. However, the Rash, in his commentary to the Mishnah, has two interpretations of the Mishnah, and the Rash writes that first of all it could be that closing her mouth is a problem entirely because the water has to get into her mouth. And in fact, Tosos Maseches Nida Daf Samach Zayin seems to paskin that way. Tosos writes in Maseches Nida that we have to be melami d'seisha. Let me see if I can find the Tosos right now. They have to be melamed the woman. Tosus writes, "Lekach yesh lilmol the kol isha toveles shelo titbol v'tiftach eneha v'lo tatzim eneha bioser." She shouldn't go into the mikvah with her eyes open, nor with her eyes really, really closed. L'pirush Rashi, to look at sin b'samach tani shmaita l'taro, so l'kol ha'pirushim, u'l'kol ha'pirushim, tzarech l'lamda l'ftoach piha, she'roi l'bias mayim. We have to teach her to open up her mouth so that her mouth will be ro'i l'bias mayim. K'damrin l'el, d'kol beis hastarim binan she'roi l'bias mayim. U'may sinami mishivchaso shel rabbi she'tov lovenim tza'etzem bein shineh v'tzricha rabbi tzvila acheres. Utznanami behedim esachs mikvolos perches mishnehei nida she'nosna mo'us b'fiha yorda v'tovla ta'ora mitumasa aval tamea agav roka nosna se'er b'fiha kovtza yodeh. That if she closes her mouth too tightly, then it's as if she wasn't tovel. And we have to teach her to be marchik her legs from each other a little bit. So it seems that Tosfos is telling us, says that we should be melamed the woman to be poseach, to open up her mouth, which is a little bit surprising that you'd have such a daya, but such a daya is quoted in the Rash as well. Now, the Rash then says a second shita where he says it just means that she shouldn't close them too tightly, but of course she should close her mouth. And the Rush, not to be confused with the Rush says, you know, the best is dibuk beinani, you know, an average closing of the mouth. The Ravid and Balei HaNefesh has many rayas that second interpretation is correct, that dibuk beinani is good enough. You know, when Rava says you don't need a bias mayim, it would be against the Mishnah. Why would Rava be paskening against the Mishnah? Much more logical to reconcile the two and say there's a difference between closing your mouth and sealing your mouth very tightly shut. Also, kritza is a lashon hiduk, a lashon of attaching. Akori Hashemah Merami is be'edav Umekaretz bisiv sosav umarabe etzbo, the Gemara in Yuma says in Yudalit, doesn't mean regular closing of the mouth. So when we talk about kritzas svasayim, it means something that's more like a gesticulation, like something that's made to be more obvious, made to be more out there, as opposed to just a regular closing, a natural closing of the mouth, would not fit that lashon. So even though we paskin not to open the mouth, the Darkei Moshe does quote a sharedura that she should open it a little bit. And in Teferis Tzvi, Sivkan Chav Gimel, he explains that the Sharidura is not passing like Tosos, but we're not bekiyim to know what's called Kartza Sivsoseha, which is a Chatzitza, and what's called Sasma Sivsoseha, which is not a Chatzitza. So since we're not bekiyim to be able to define the difference between the two, so says the Darkei Moshe, the name of the Sharidura, that we should that she should keep her mouth somewhat open, that she should keep her mouth a little bit open. Now, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Lamed Ches that no, that's about the eyes. Lamed Ches. Ein atzricha liftoach piha k'nei sheichansu b'amayim v'lo tikbotzu seyosu midai. And the Rama doesn't really say anything, right? Vim kavtza loal salatvila. So apparently the Rama in Shulchan Aruch wasn't so bothered by what the Sharidura said, what he quoted in the Beis Yosef. Again, the Rashi's second pshat, was just the simple pshat, was that there's no stira at all between the Mishnah and what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, because one is talking about really closing the mouth shut. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. That's problematic. And one is just talking about a regular closing of the mouth, softly closing the mouth, and that's not a problem. That's even the Chachila, what you're supposed to do. So even though in Darkei Moshe, he seems to be worried, based on the Sharei Dura, he seems to be worried about the ramifications of leaving it up to a woman's judgment to decide how tightly to close her mouth. But in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say like that. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rama leaves it be. So it sounds that that lahalacha, we could be makel and leave it to her judgment to close her mouth properly. So that's what seems to be the assumption lahalacha. Moving along, Si'if Lamed Tes, the Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Pascha eneha bioser o atzma eneha bioser lo also la tevila. If the woman opens up her eyes wide, like I was unable to do 2 weeks ago because of my Bell's palsy thing, if a woman opens up her eyes wide or closes her eyes really really tightly, lo also la tevila, says Rabbi Yochanan. The Torah quotes a Yesh Omrim that the tevila does not work. The Mechaber quotes the first day as Stam and the second as Yesh Omrim. Meaning the Mechaber writes, Lo tatzimena biyoser, va'al tiftechem biyoser, v'im assakein, yesh omrim, shalo olsala tvila. So there are two deos, apparently, whether it works. And it's a yesh omrim that lo olsala tvila, that the tvila is not even going to work, bidiyevet. So it's kedai to take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin tells us that Amar Rabbi Yochanan Pascha Einei Biyoser, to the point that her upper eyelids are totally closed off because she closes her eyes to the point that it's making new creases in her face and it's closing off her eyelids. Lo also la tevila, it doesn't work because it's chatzitza lemaila, and when she closes it, it's chatzitza lemata. It's interesting. Some of the Rishonim understand that she can't be otze min abiyoser. The Meiri writes such a lashon because lo nichnasu hamayim l'tocha ayin, that the mayim won't get into the eye, which is a little bit strange. Who cares that it won't get into the eye? It doesn't need to get into the eye, and they understand that means it's ein roi l'bias mayim. But the Ramban writes that no, it's not mamish chatzit. So even if she closes her eyes very much or opens them very much, even though there will be some folds, it's not moneya the bias hamayim. And according to the Ramban, it's not really chotze it's a tevila kedei l'tar l'bayil. It's a chumra bialma. So the Ramban understands that it does make more creases than you want it to have. But the Ramban writes, it's not going to ruin a tevila, because really the water can get through a lot of things. And if water can get through a lot of things, so you don't have to worry that it's going to ruin a tevila. That's how the Ramban writes. And so when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Yesh Omrim, that Lo El Salat Tevila, that's a machlokas Rishonim. The Rush's Lashon in Hilchas Nida is in the Hilchas Nida Bekitzer is the Lo Tatzim in Rabbi Yosef, Vegam Lo Tiftach in Rabbi Yosef, Pen Yochutzu Ha'afapayim L'mayla Al Gabei Ayin. She should close her eyes softly. And Beis Yosef says the Rush doesn't mean that she has to close her eyes a little bit, because even if she leaves her eyes open, that would also work, because that's derech kedilasa, meaning the same way that the inside of the eyes are a beis hastarim, the eyelids are also a beis hastarim. So either one only needs ra'oi l'bias mayim. Neither of them require an actual bias mayim. So says the Rush, it doesn't, if she prefers opening her eyes, you know, some people when they go swimming, they like opening their eyes. Other people when they go swimming, I just discovered that mikvahs are chlorinated. I didn't know this. I'm learning from my infectious disease doctors that they chlorinate, and that's why it's not so dangerous, as long as they clean out the room, disinfect the room after each tevila. In our local mikvah, our local mikvahs here, they decided to make a rule that everyone just becomes a dipper, meaning that everyone should do all their preparations at home based on the advice of infectious disease doctors. So again, we're going to learn either tomorrow or next week that we don't love that. We don't love that idea of doing the chafifa entirely at home. But given the circumstances, that seems to be the prudent thing to do. And all they have to worry about then is the actual tevila room. And thank God, now we have enough tevila rooms and large enough mikveh. It's by appointment only. And they're making enough time between appointments to disinfect the room in between. But this is where we're holding. This is what's happening. In fact, we even had a conversation. I realize I'm off topic here, but we even had a conversation last night. You know, I think like when it's on Zoom, like I got to tell even more stories, I feel like, you know, I don't know. Maybe do you feel like I'm robbing you of Torah when I do this? Don't answer that. Okay. So last night we did the Smichas Chavar Shir on Zoom, and one of the guys in the Shir is a Rebbe in DRS, and he texts me afterwards that this was his first time being a student on Zoom, and he's now 100% convinced that none of his Talmidim are listening to anything that he is saying, which may be true. But anyway, I forgot what I was saying about our mikveh. So we have to do it by appointment only and disinfect the rooms in between in order to make it that it's possible. Oh yeah, one of the Rabbanim had a question. What happens if they put in a curfew, right? And you can't go to the mikveh after 8 o'clock at night, and shkia is getting much much later. So that's not such a difficult shaila. I saw that on the RCA podcast, they asked Rav Shechter that shaila, and Rav Shechter got it right. He said that she should go to the mikvah on the eighth day, and you know, no restrictions after that. So that's kind of obvious. But the bigger shaila became, what if they restrict any movement anywhere except for to a supermarket, right? What if they make it like that you can't go anywhere? So how are we going to, you know, if New York City goes into something like that, Nassau County will also. Plus, there are a lot of Jews in New York City also. So what are we going to do about that? So this is where, you know, I was always skeptical of rabbis that are like too close to the government, you know, like that are too friendly. Like, you know, you're a rabbi. Just passing people salachos and guide people and inspire people and help them through difficult times and, you know, do rabbi things, you know what? But you know, this is where it really, really helps to have rabbanim who have very good relationships with politicians. It happens to be that Rabbi Billet has a very close relationship with the county executive in Nassau County, and he said he has no doubt that she's going to make a dispensation for women to go to the mikveh, which is a very important thing to have such a dispensation for Shalom Bayis purpose. I don't know how many of you were on the YU call last night, but Dr. Pelkovitz said that the research in China, the numbers in China show that the divorce offices had to close down because they couldn't handle all of the demand as soon as the quarantine ended. That divorce rate just went like crazy through the roof after the quarantine. So they're learning from that, you know, that maybe it's not always so healthy to be in such close quarters. We have to work a little bit harder for the guys who are married and for the guys who are not married to file it away, that when we have a lot of alone time, we have to work even harder on the shalom bias. But I don't remember why I got into all of that.
If we're allowing them to have mikvah on the eighth day, would we tell them to wait to come home until after Shkir at Zayin?
No, that's only for the seventh day. I think for the eighth day, Rav Shachter said, just let them come straight home. He didn't think that it was a problem. So what was I saying? That the Beis Yosef is pointing out, what the Rush is telling you, is that she can open her eyes if she wants. There's nothing wrong with opening your eyes, because both the inside of the eye and the eyelid are Beis Astarim. So as long as it's Derech Dilasa, it's not a problem. Meaning, it is natural for a person to walk around with their eyes open, so that's called Derech Dilasa, and therefore it's not a problem. Beis Yosef also says that the Rush may be telling you that Dafka to close the eyes Berifyon, because Al Yidei Kach, you'll avoid a psicha rabba or sgira rabba, meaning you'll avoid the wide-eyed problem, and you'll avoid the meaning if you dafka make a bekavana, try to do something softly, then you know that you're not going to create the extra creases in the face, and that's why maybe the Rush actually means it dafka. So those are the two deos that of the Rush, the two deos of the Beis Yosef in understanding the Rush, why the Rush recommends that the eyes should be opened. Should be closed rather lightly. Is it dafka that they have to be closed lightly, or is it no lav dafka, they could be opened also? So those are two deos that the Beis Yosef quotes. In the Shulchan Aruch, it seems pretty clear that he's not instructing you exactly what to do. He just says, don't close them too strong and don't open them too strong. And if you did it, Yeshom Shalom also the Tevila. And if you did it, then there's a Yeshom that the Tevila does not work. So the Sidre Tara, or Shiure Tara, points out that Vafilu Man de Palukachu Svirle da also la Tevila. That even if you hold over here, like the Shita, that also la tvila, you would agree that that if nasna and chav zayin, we had nasna sa'ara b'fiha, o kartza sifsoseha, o kaftza yada b'inyin shalobo amayim behem, lo al salatvila. You'll still admit that that's lo al salatvila. Why? Demasnisani, because that's a beferish mishnah in the 8th paragraph of Maseches Mikvaos. Aye, what's the difference? So he says, when you close your eyes, the kamatim, are the folds in the skin, are not really so strong. So water will actually...
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound. You are in the meeting now. There are more than 20 participants in the meeting.
You guys are so much faster than I am. Okay. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. So the question the Sidre Tara was dealing with is why it is that someone would hold that if she's atzma eneha biyoser, that the tevila would work b'diaved, but if she's kaftza pia biyoser, it doesn't work. So He just points out, because no matter how tightly you close your eyes, to actually make a chatzitza to the point that, parts of your body that are normally begalui are not going to have water enter is much harder. Probably water is going to get through the kamatim anyway. And that's really like the Ramban said. But when you close your mouth really tightly, you can actually really block water from getting in there. The Ramban in Hilchos Nida, Perek Tes, Halacha Chaf Hei, the Ramban writes, "Umidine chatzitza lo tov," and this is just a good way to conclude the dinim of chatzitza. Is there someone that's like not on mute that should be? Should I? I'm hearing a biology lesson, so if anyone has that going on in the back. Okay, thank you, whoever that was. Okay, so the Ramban concludes Hilchos Nida by saying Hilchos Chatzitza that umidine achat, and it's really Hilchos Nida midine achatzitza lo tov heyosa adam machmir yoser midayu mechapes achar sveikos livsol tvilasa bedavar akal, that a person shouldn't look for chumras, shouldn't look for new sveikos, shouldn't try to passel her tvila ki im kain ein ledavar sof. Because as you speak to anyone who has OCD, this could be ein ledavar sof. Ela achar shechaf farosha. If she did a chafifa on her head, visarka b'misrak, and she combs her hair, v'chafa, and she we'll have to see what the word chafifa means, v'rachtsa kol gufa b'chamin, and she bathed her whole body in warm water, v'nizra levilti tiga b'shum davar chotzeitz, and she was careful not to touch things that are going to be in chatzitza, v'tasa tfilasa b'pshitu sevarev, kol gufa, she does a tvi, by spreading out her limbs in the proper way, lo yachnis adam rosha besveikos hachamuros hasher ein lan keitz v'sof. A person, it's unbelievable, the Ramban already saw this happening in his day. A person should not invent problems that there will be no end to. Kugon atzmeina bioser, kartsa sifsosa bioser, mishara sveikos, ki mi yuchal avchin bein atzma bioser, bein lo atzma bioser. Meaning, it's fascinating, the very same svara that the Rama quoted from the Shari Dura as a reason to be machmir, that you got to leave the mouth open a little bit because you don't know exactly what the line is between closing the mouth really tightly and not closing the mouth really tightly. So the very same svara that the Shari Dura uses to be machmir comes along the Ramban, he says, I'm going to use that svara to be mekil, meaning who knows? And because we can't know, you just got to be human, you just got to be regular, you just got to do normal things. So go to the mikvah in the normal way, and that should solve the problem. The last thing to discuss in this siman is the last si'if. Si'if mem ches. It's based on a sugya chulin, but the Rambam writes that anyone who's tovel tzorich leskavin letevila. You need to have kavana for the tevila, and if you don't have kavana for the tevila, also lo tevila lechulin. Afilu nida shetov lebelo kavana kigon shenaf lo toch hamayim or yarda lahaker harezu muteres lebaila. So he writes that even a nida that's tovel below kavana is muteres lebaila. What's an example of a nida that's tovel below kavana? She's standing next to the ocean and her friend shoves her in the ocean, and she or she falls overboard on a boat into the ocean. So she's tovelas. So and she's wearing loose fitting clothing, let's say. So all the water got in between her the clothing and her skin. So she was tovelas, and it counts for a tevila. And she's Muteris Labaila. Where does this come from? So the Beis Yossi points out that Ram gets it from Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph. Itmar Nida Shenetin Savitavla. If a Nida was Tavla Ba'ones, Amr Vidum Rav, Tahora Labaisa, Kalama Labaila. She's Tahora to her husband, but she's not allowed to eat Truma. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af Labaisa Lo Tahora. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. So Amr Le Rav Le Rav Nachman, the Rav, the Amr Tahora Labaisa, Avon Karis Hutra Isser Misa Mibai. That, think about it. Nida is an Isser Karis. Truma Misa Bidei Shemayim. Karis is more severe than Misa Bidei Shemayim. Why does it make any sense that we should be matir her for the Isser Karis and not for the Misa Bidei Shemayim? Amalei, by lechulin hu. V'chulin lo by kavana. No, there's a din in kavana that's needed for something that has kedusha, and that which doesn't have kedusha, a husband who is just regular chulin, he's just a regular guy. So he, meaning that doesn't mean that. It means he's just, he's not truma and he's not kachim. He could be a very holy Jew, but we're not going to get into the chasidus angle right now. You know, of course he's a very holy Jew and all that, but he's chulin on a certain level. So that's why we could be more makel. Umina temra. How do we know this? The Tanan, the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Megvaos, Gal Shenitlash, that if you have a wave of the ocean that splashes over a person, and we paskin like Rav. The Rambam paskins like Rav. And the Gemara says, Heichi dami nida shenensa v'tavla. What does it mean, shenensa v'tavla? So the Gemara says, oh, it means her friend pushes her in. That's not called lack of kavana. If her friend pushes her in, there is kavana. The friend had kavana. And the friend's kavana should work for her. It's like in Hilchos Tevilas Kelim, if you have a katan or a guy going to be tovel your kelim, but Yisrael omid al gabehem. So what does Yisrael omid al gabehem do? So it accomplishes providing the kavana for the tevila. So Amrav Papa, Rabbi Nassim Shnuflam and Agesha, the Rabbanon Shiarda Lahaker. Maybe she was just going for a swim. That's tavla la ansa. Or maybe she fell off of a bridge. So there's such a machlokas with regard to shchita. So you have the same machlokas over here. Meaning if you do shchita below kavana, so the same machlokas would apply over here. So how do we paskin? So the Ran writes that it's correct to paskin like Rav, because it sounds like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak holds like Rav. And the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yotes seems to assume like Rav, because it says Chulin is Lobo Kavana, and it doesn't even mention the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Ran says, many Rayas, that it seems that the stomach of the Shas paskins like Rav. The Rashba, nearly the Kaimel and Rabbi Yochanan. The Rashba in Chulin Lamed Aleph and Beis says, no, I think we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because the rule is Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, plus Rabba Kavasei Svirulei. Because Rabba had a whole shakla vitaria within the shita of Rav, meaning he was questioning shitas Rav. The Gemara had answers, but Ashnu dechiki lo samchinan. Just because the Gemara had answers, meaning he raised the question: how can you be mechalek between kares and misa b'dei shemayim? Be more machmir by misa b'dei shemayim. There were tirutzim. Okay, there are tirutzim, but that doesn't mean you should paskin that way. So on the one end, you have the Ran that says we should be mekel. You have the Rashba that says we should be machmir. The Rambam paskins like Rav. Right? Why? Because when we say we not tamer dechul naboy kavana, and we quote a Mishnah in Maseches Megvaos, the Rambam understood, says the Beis Yosef, was stum at the Gemara. It wasn't just Rav Nachman answering for Rav. That was the stum at the Gemara, and the stum at the Gemara paskins like Rav, and therefore comes the Shulchan Aruch Sif Memches nido shetavla below kavana kigon shenaflo l'toch hamayim o sheyar de lahaker. So she's going to be muteres labayla if she was yarda lahaker. The Pischei Tshuva points out in Sifkat and Chavav, what does it mean kavana? Does kavana mean that she has to have kavana to have tashmish with her husband? So Pischei Tshuva points out, no, kavana just means, and I don't know why there's a havmin otherwise, but he says kavana means that she has to have kavana for tevila, that she's going to the mikvah labayla. But lav dafka that it's to have tashmish with her husband. I mean, what happens if you have a woman whose husband has, she's convinced her husband has coronavirus, right? Has COVID-19. So she's absolutely convinced of it. He has all the symptoms. His chavrusa has it. His next door neighbor has it. And he's waiting for the test to come back. So our amazing government has arranged for a turnaround time, if you're lucky enough to get a test, a turnaround time of only 5 days. I'm being facetious. It's the doctors are telling me this is like a total disaster. They're fighting blind because they have no idea how many people actually have it. But anyway, I digress. So she thinks her husband's going to be in quarantine for the next 2 weeks, and she's going to be in Nida again soon. So she thinks that none of this is relevant. And then it turns out the test comes back a couple of days later, and she's tahor, and not she's and he's negative. So now she wants to be with her husband. So says the Piskei Tshuva, Kasav B'Sefer Chamudi Daniel, Im Mahaya Baila Chola Rachman Al-Atslan, V'Safra Shubin Akiyim, V'Tavla B'Ktei Shetucha Liga Bo, we don't recommend that if he has COVID-19, V'Lo Kivna L'Tashmish, Nira Da'osa Tevila Mahani Af L'Tashmish, that the Tevila is going to work even for Tashmish. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. The Ramah, V'yesh machmirin, u'matzrich nosa tevila acheres. That some are machmir, and he says v'yesh lachmir lechadchila. That it's best to be machmir lechadchila to require another tevila. I think there's a famous tshuva. I didn't have a chance to look it up. A famous tshuva of Rav Moshe about relating to this. I think someone asked Rav Moshe about a shidduch question. He was dating a girl who was a balas tshuva. So on the one hand, she seems to be a real special girl and a tzaddikas and have beautiful midos and be very committed to Yiddishkeit, and she seems to be perfect for him. But on the other hand, Chazal tell us that a bas hanida is pogum, that there's some sort of pagam when someone is the child of a nida, someone's the offspring of a nida. So should this fellow be concerned and break off the shidduch because her parents aren't from? So mistama, they didn't go to mikvah, the woman didn't go to mikvah, and it's a bas hanida. So Rav Moshe, if I recall correctly, there's a machlokas about why not to break off the shidduch between Rav Moshe and the stipler. They both said not to break off the shidduch, but a machlokas why not to break off the shidduch. So I think the stipler's svara was, the stipler writes in Kayuna de Igrisa, that don't break off the shidduch because she clearly was able to overcome whatever negative, she's so strong in her commitment that she was able to overcome whatever negative traits are imbued in a person who's a bas hanida. So adraba, she's a real gem that she was able to overcome all that and still be a tzadekes. Wow, that's amazing. But Rav Moshe says, nah, mistama, her mother went to the beach. So if her mother went to the beach, so mistama, on a daraisa level, she was tahora. It's a very big chiddush on many, many levels. First of all, mistama, she was wearing a bathing suit. Second of all, it was below kavanah. The Rama says they have to. Third, there's no hefsek tara. There's no sfira shivinikim. There's none of any of that. But Rav Moshe says, we wouldn't allow such a woman to be together with her husband without hefsek tara, without any sfira shivinikim, without anything else. But to say that it's going to be the pagam of a bas hanida if she entered a body of water and was tavelas below kavanah, we assume that took care of the pagam of bas hanida. So it's kedai to look that up. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but if I remember it correctly, I think that's what Rav Moshe writes. You need very big shoulders, you know, to say something like that. That mistama, her mother was tahora from going to the mikvah, from going to the beach rather. Okay, that. Yeah.
What's the Havamina that one would need Kavana for Tashmish? Are Rishonim saying that?
So I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look around. My guess as to what that, and if anyone knows, speak up. But I my guess is that it's based on the Gemara's talking about a difference between when you're Tovel L'chulin versus Tovel L'taharos or Tovel L'kadshim. So meaning that apparently there's such a thing as a targeted Tevila. But what he's saying is, no, she was Tavela Slabaila, and being Tavela Slabaila means Labaila. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's to touch her husband or whether it's to have Tashmish with her husband. And that's my guess, but I didn't, again, as you undoubtedly are able to tell, I have not been super duper well prepared, you know, for these shiurim, but we're just trying to keep it going. Just to introduce, you know, we have 5 minutes left, to introduce what we're going to be doing for the next few days. So we're moving on to Kuf Tzadi Tes, Be'ezras Hashem, and Kuf Tzadi Tes is Shetzricha Isha Livdok Beis Astarim V'dinei Chafifa B'Shabbos U'Bechol. So essentially we're going to discuss the different levels of Chafifa, what's required Midaraisa, what's required Mitakanas Ezra, what's required Midrabanan, meaning what was added at each stage in the development of Chafifa. So you got to see Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis, where we talk about Takanas Ezra and compare it to the actual din Da'oraisa. And then you got to see Nida Samach Vavam Beis, where Rava comes along and adds more to the process of Chafifa. Kufa, being Madiach Beis Kmateha B'mayim, and then the fascinating discussion of exactly how the Chafifa is done, which is fascinating. The Beis Yosef quotes a Marie Cologne, you have to use water dafka or shar mashkim, and the Darkei Moshe quotes the Inyan of whether a woman has to urinate before Tevila, and there's a lot of discussion about that, about why she would. I think we already had some of that discussion when we were discussing the NuvaRing about why a woman would have to urinate before Tevila, meaning empty her bladder so that she's not holding it in at the time she goes to the mikvah. And then also just like when to do the Chafifa, because we have competing values when it comes to scheduling a Chafifa. On the one hand, we want to take up the Chafifa Tevila. We don't want too much time to lapse between the Chafifa and the Tevila. But on the other hand, we also want to make sure that she's not mehuma lebesa, that she's not rushed through the chafifa, knowing that the mikvah is already open and that she could be tovelas. So it's a very important machlokas between Rashi and the Shiltos and Rav Chai Gon, and we're going to discuss exactly how we balance those concerns, and then how we balance it dafka when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, where things get more complicated. And then we'll talk about what if a woman didn't do the chafifa, and what sorts of activities a person should avoid in between the chafifa and the tevila, and what activities to avoid all day long, but also what activities to avoid dafka between the chafifa and the tevila. And that's going to be the discussion about why it is that we really strongly recommend that chafifa be done at least partially at the mikveh, and that it not be done entirely in the person's home. Again, coronavirus notwithstanding, under normal circumstances, that's what we would recommend. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into some of those. We'll begin getting into some of those topics. We'll try to start 1:10 tomorrow with Parsha. We'll, again, trying to keep things on normal schedule as much as possible. So 1:10 with Parsha, and then Be'ez Hashem will begin Simen Kuf Tzadi Tes. So thank you all very much. It's always great to see you guys. Even if you didn't hear anything I said, just seeing your faces is like a great chizuk for me. So thank you very much for keeping me going.
Housekeeping question?
Sure.
Are there any topics that we're going to cover after Chafifa? And also, when are we planning on starting Avelus?
So Avelus is going to be after Pesach. That's for sure. Blina there. And we're going to go through Simen Reish. So Simen Reish is very, very short. It's just how to say the bracha and be tavela. So that's not going to take very long. And then maybe if we have a few days between when we finish Hilchas Nida and Pesach, so then maybe we'll spend those days doing some of the topics. And I'm open to suggestions. I know we never got to Hilchas Tznius, so maybe we'll do that. Or maybe other things. You let me know if you have suggestions. I thought it was very nice last time when we got to do birth control and those other topics. It was a nice opportunity to be able to cover certain things that probably that just don't get covered in the course of the Shulchan Aruch. But Noah, I'm sure you have suggestions, and I'm sure everybody else may have ideas also. So certainly very much open to those suggestions, time permitting.
Question?
Yeah.
About Kuf Tzadi Tes. And some people posted in the WhatsApp group yesterday, and Jen and I were wondering this today as well. The Shulchan Aruch says that, and the Rishonim say that, and the Gemara says that if she wets her hand before grabbing onto her friend, then it says it has to be from the main mikvah, and it can't be mine she'uvim. What would be the reason that it can't be Mayim She'uvim if we know that Mayim She'uvim would...
I saw that question. Yeah, so I think that the reason is that we assume that when you grasp something tightly, the water underneath your hands is not connecting. Mayim She'uvim, if it were in the mikveh, would become part of the mikveh. But that water is not connecting with the mikveh in a way that it would mix with the mikveh. So it's remaining separate. But if it's just part of the mikveh water that's under your fingers, so then the item is fully surrounded by mikveh water, even though that mikveh water is no longer connecting to the other mikveh water.
So if that's the case, then would the person need to grab
armor onto the other, onto the cleat, because it's also supposed to be Lekalim. Would that need to happen underneath the mikvah?
Yes, I think that's what a number of the Achronim suggested. That's what we recommend, that you go under, you put one hand in the water, take the cleat in the other hand, stick it in the water and hand it over to the other hand, right? That's what we had a three-way machlokas, Rama, the Shach, and the Taz. So I think the Shach was more machmir, and he thought that even that doesn't work, that you have to drop it, dafka. But I think we assume not that way. I think we normally assume that, like the Taz says, that you could pass it over from one hand to the other.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Okay. All right. Great to see everybody again. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.